Can you hear me? There we go. I just didn't give it time to warm up. Good morning. Glad to see that you, that you came out in this Arctic weather. It's a beautiful, beautiful snow when it just covers the grass and you can still travel. It's a little bit more difficult this morning, but glad that you're here. We're here to worship the Lord, the maker of the snow and the protector of us and the one who got us here safely. Two things that I want to bring your attention to in the bulletin, if you've got your bulletin. Hopefully you took a look at the comic there. I'm assuming that's probably the first dad joke. At least we can say that he was brought up in a stable home. So, first dad joke in history. The second thing, I know we were planning on, we are planning on caroling still this afternoon. It hasn't received the official no, unless somebody gives me like a thumbs down. But it sounds like, if you're aware of the weather and you want to come out and you want to sing, then let Brenda know. I'm going to say I think she's the one that's going to make the final decision. Oh, she's got a thumbs up. Okay, so if you are going to plan on coming out and singing, caroling out here on the steps, and you're fully aware of what that means, that means you're not allowed to complain about how cold it is, and then sing with all your heart out there on the steps. But please let Brenda know before you leave so that she knows whether it's going to happen or not. And I would say she'll get word to Ginny to tell everybody. Okay, good. Okay. I'm getting the thumbs ups and the head shakes, and so we're all good. Okay. So if you're still planning on doing that, make sure you talk to Brenda before you leave. I'm not gonna go through all the different things here that are in the bulletin. Is there anything special that anybody feels like we need to let everybody know about? Any important announcements? Christmas is less than 2 weeks away. That's an important announcement. All right. Well, let's... You know what? Before we get started, I'm going to invite you. You don't have to. I do appreciate... I see that this side moved over a little bit. If you feel like it, I know you're comfortable. You're in. You're comfortable. You're getting warm. But if you want to and want to squeeze toward the middle, feel free. Now's the time to do it. If you're not, if you're comfortable, you're okay. That's fine. But let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and prepare for worship. Well, Father, take the spotlight off of me at this point. We're here for you. We're here to worship you. We thank you for the snow. We thank you for rain. We thank you for warm weather. We thank you for all of those things because we know they came from you, and we thank you for you. We thank you that you are a God that is absolutely worthy of our praise, and that's why we're here this morning then. So, Father, we pray that we will bless you with our praise and that you will bless us with your presence. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You don't have to stand yet because our call to worship is an entire chapter of Isaiah. Not very long, but long enough that I'll let you sit through the call to worship and then I'll invite you to stand as we get ready to sing. But I'm going to read from Isaiah 35, and even the subtitle that's above it says Joy of the Redeemed. This is the third Sunday in Advent. Our theme is joy today. The joy of the redeemed. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Amen. I'll ask you to stand then, if you're able, and let's sing our praises of joy this morning.
Start a night, a king is born in Bethlehem. Our journey long, we seek the light that leads to the hall in manger ground. What fear we felt in the silent age, 400 years can broken by a baby's cry, rejoice the heart in manger crowned. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God incarnate. Joy. So we've got a song designed to get the blood pumping and get you ready to shout for joy.
right, take a few minutes to greet your neighbors. Find out what brings them joy. All right. So tell me how God brought you joy this week.
It snowed.
It snowed. And again. Yeah. Okay. So some people like the snow. What other ways did God bring joy to you this week?
Yesterday, my mom, my sister, and I went down to New Holland, and we saw the play White Christmas in a little community theater, and it was really good. We enjoyed it. We had a good time.
Yeah, okay. Time with family.
Delivering your gifts to the children at Grace Church, I noticed like an auditorium or a sanctuary, and it was just filled with presents on all the pews. So what a blessing that was.
Yes, thank you for the gifts that you gathered for the Lingle Avenue and the school system. We appreciate that. What other praises? What other ways did God bring joy?
I had taken a day off work and volunteered at the elementary school on Wednesday. And that always brings a certain level of joy. They had a secret Santa shop where the kids get to go in and shop then secretly for their families. So that was a fun experience.
Yeah. Okay. Any other general praises that we have?
Yeah, I had volunteered to go to BizTown. It's down in York, and it's for the sixth grade middle school. And Ian was there, but I wasn't allowed to be in his group. But yeah, it was teaching them how to, you know, business works. How, you know, you go to the bank, you go to the, you know, to the radio station or to a graphic shop. All different things, jobs for kids, and then you know they get a checkbook and a bank card and the whole nine.
Nice.
Yeah, it was very neat.
Okay. Cool. Yeah.
Amanda and I got to celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary in Florida last week, and we also had an opportunity to visit her 90-year-old grandmother. So that was a big praise.
Yeah, yeah. And congratulations.
Yep, from Zoom, from Jim Rothline. He says, praise for a burst of inspiration for a collection of narrative based on biblical stories. So he likes that he's getting some creative juices flowing and some inspiration. So,
yeah, I saw one of them posted. It's, as he said, it's biblically based. You ought to check them out. Any other? Yeah.
Hi. Again, happy anniversary, Mom and Dad. And lots of good things from the Stroud family. I also finished my first semester of Valley, and I think other people have as well. So I know a lot of my friends are also coming back from the military as well, so congratulations to them, and praise the Lord that they're done with training.
Yeah, yeah, okay. How did first semester go? Some. It was rough, but you survived. All right. any other praises or any prayer requests? Anything else that we want to lift up?
Sorry, I probably should have did this at the same time. Prayer request. My mother had foot surgery, ankle surgery a couple weeks back. Unfortunately, she had a setback. She's in the hospital right now. She got an infection in her foot. So keep her in your prayers.
Any others?
There is one on Zoom. Jim also asked for continued inspiration and also just strength to continue to get through some times and with some joy in his life as well. So.
And I hope you pray for Donna and the surgeon. She has her first cataract operation Tuesday.
Okay.
All right, on Zoom also, Judy is looking outside at a beautiful white blowing snow from the warmth of her home. So the beauty of the snow, but the warmth of the home as well. So.
Yes, absolutely.
Prayer requests for Bill Pence. He fell, I believe, on Friday and or early Saturday morning, and he's in the hospital.
Okay, well, let's join in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all those ways that you have brought joy to us this past week, all those things that were remembered and mentioned, and we thank you for milestones like anniversaries and finishing semesters and coming home from the service. And we just thank you that we have those memories, those things that help us to kind of keep time, things that bring joy to us in so many ways. The snow and just being able to enjoy it from the warmth of a warm room, warm house. We just thank you for your protection, your creativity, your love. We ask that you would consider these requests that have been lifted. We pray for Jeff's mom, and she's had a setback from her surgery. You know exactly what the problem is, and we just pray that you would reveal it to the doctors so that they know how to treat it. We thank you for the inspiration, the motivation that you've given Jim. We pray for continued inspiration for him, and pray that you would give him an opportunity to see how he can have joy in his life, just knowing that he's not alone, that you're with him all the time. We pray for Donna as she goes in for her first cataract operation on Tuesday. We know that you're already preparing things, all the people that need to be ready, and we just pray for a successful surgery and one that she can recover from very quickly. We pray for Bill Pence, as he is in the hospital. Again, you know exactly what's going on there with the fall, and we just pray that he would be healed and be able to get home and to work through recovery very soon. We thank you for the way you provide for us, and we've given a portion back as our offering, and so we thank you for being our provider. We ask you to use our offering and bless it in whatever way you feel is appropriate. Let your will be done with it. I pray that you'll guide my lips, my thoughts, my words, that I'll be your vessel for your message. I pray that we will be hearers and doers of your word. Father, we just thank you for being you. We thank you for this new day, an opportunity to serve you and to praise you. We thank you. Thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you join me in singing our first hymn? Remember last Sunday we lit the candle of peace, and our first two candles help us to celebrate the hope and the peace that we have in Jesus the Christ. Today is the third Sunday of Advent. I mentioned earlier, we light the third candle of Advent, the candle of joy. When the angel Gabriel told Mary that a special child would be born to her, she was filled with joy. She sang a song that began with the words, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Just as the birth of Jesus gave great joy to his mother, so his presence in the world gave joy to all those who had none before. He healed them and gave them hope and peace when they believed in him, and from hope and peace grows joy. We light the candle of joy to remind us that when Jesus is born in us, we have joy, and that through him there will be everlasting joy on earth. Joy is like a light shining in a dark place. As we look at the light of this candle, we celebrate the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for the joy that you give us. We ask that as we wait for all your promises to come true and for Christ to come again, that you would remain present with us. Help us today and every day to worship you, to hear your word, and to do your will by sharing your joy with each other. We ask it in the name of Jesus, the one whose birth we celebrate and whose coming we anticipate. Amen. At this time, the children are dismissed for children's church. All right. So I would imagine that all of you are very familiar with nativity scenes. We have one up here, we have one back there, we have one out on the lawn. You've probably seen them, you probably have them in your living room, somewhere in your house. Probably at least one nativity scene somewhere in the house. And unfortunately, I think some of us sometimes get more worried about the inaccuracy of the setups than we are about what they represent. I know there were some concerns as we put this up. Oh, should the wise men be somewhere else? Should they be up there? There's always questions about whether this nativity scene that you're working with is accurate or not. But I can tell you with almost complete certainty that every nativity scene you have ever displayed or looked at was inaccurate in some way. First, because the manger was probably made of wood. Second, because your baby Jesus is probably white and also probably has blonde hair. And third, where's your little drummer boy? That one's not in the Bible, but anyhow, it doesn't matter that your nativity scene is not accurate. It wasn't designed to be historically accurate as far as time. I should say chronologically accurate. It's meant to be historically accurate, but not necessarily chronologically accurate. It was designed instead to remind you of all the characters who were involved, all the types of characters who were involved in the story. I want you to think about these characters and maybe think about who you might relate to the best. We've got an angel. It's a heavenly messenger. There's Mary, a 13 to 14-year-old first-time mother. Joseph, her slightly confused but very loyal and loving husband. The Magi, pagan astrologers, stargazers, following clues to try to find a hidden treasure. Now, I don't know if you feel like you can identify with any of those characters or not. I won't ask you which one you feel like you most identify with. But I feel like all of us can probably relate to the character that I didn't mention yet, the shepherds. Although this one's very European. But again, it's not about the accuracy. It's about what he represents. He's going to fall, and I don't want that to happen. I'll put him out here so we can pay attention to him. There we go. I set myself up for that. We can identify with these shepherds, I think, because the shepherds are just a bunch of average Joes that were just doing their job. They're just going about their normal day-to-day. It's pretty easy to relate to them, I think, because many of us have our normal routine, our day-to-day job, or even just our normal day-to-day routine. We might have all had our 15 minutes of fame. Maybe we got our picture in the paper. Maybe we were interviewed on the radio, something that brought us a little bit of notoriety for just a little while. But for the most part, we're just average Joes and average Josephines, just going about our business day after day after day. And that's what we read in today's text from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. I'm going to be looking at the birth story again. Last week we looked at just the angels. I'm going to be expanding the story a little bit before and after what we read last week to talk about the people that those angels were talking to. So beginning at verse 8, we read, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." Average Joes just doing their job. Now, what might make them notable, what might bring them their 15 minutes of fame, is the fact that perhaps, because of how close they are to Jerusalem, some commentators say that it's very possible these shepherds were tending the sheep that would be used for the temple sacrifices. But even then, that makes the sheep special, not the shepherds themselves. But let me tell you a few other things about how society looked at these guys. Even though the Old Testament is filled with noble shepherds, from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David was a shepherd, but by this time in Jewish history, the job of shepherd has lost its notoriety. Shepherds were considered ceremonially unclean. Just because of the nature of their job, they weren't able to participate in any religious services. Shepherds were isolated and forgotten because their flocks needed to keep moving in order to find good grass and fresh water. They never stayed in one place very long. And maybe worst of all, shepherds weren't trusted. Even if they were an eyewitness to something, their testimony wasn't allowed because they were considered to be untrustworthy. Shepherds were almost the lowest class of society, coming in just ahead of lepers. In fact, in the Jewish Talmud, that's the collection of rabbi insights. You know how we'll have these things that we'll say, these wisdom sayings that Confucius said, blah, blah, blah. We look at Proverbs and say, Proverbs tells us, well, the Jews had this Talmud that Rabbi so-and-so said, and these words are in that Talmud. No help is to be given to heathen or shepherds. So they weren't looked on very highly in society. But that's what's so special about the fact that Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd. As far as society was concerned, there was no such thing as a good shepherd. Well, that's how society saw them. But let's take a look at them from maybe more of an objective viewpoint, a more objective eyes. Let's read the verse again. And there were shepherds living. Old translations will say abiding, and maybe we don't think about what that means, but that means they were living, living out in the fields nearby. This was not just a 9-to-5 job. They didn't get to clock out, go home, tag the next guy, somebody else takes the night shift. This occupation was a lifestyle for them. It was 24/7. And we can imply, or we can see their dedication to their job when it says they were keeping watch over their flocks at night. Again, the fact that they've been working all day and now it's nighttime and they're watching over their flock. And watching over doesn't just mean sitting there and keeping an eye on them. At the end of the day, they would find some sort of natural enclosure, or if they couldn't find one, they'd have to create one, some sort of natural barriers that they would put the sheep in, and they would leave one end open, and the shepherd would lie down. That's where he would lie down, at the entrance to that enclosure that they have created or that natural area that they found. He would make sure that none of the sheep got out, unless he wanted them to, and no predators got in. The shepherd laying there at the entrance was literally a gate. And we remember, as I said, Jesus said that he is the good shepherd. And in that same conversation, he said, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." That's what he's talking about there from a figurative standpoint. They would recognize that a shepherd, and a very good shepherd, would lay at the opening of that enclosure to protect those sheep, literally putting his life on the line, laying there as the buffer between the sheep and any danger that might be present. So we see these average Joes just doing their day-to-day job, but dedicating themselves to it. And I don't want to gloss over that. I don't want you to miss that. Because maybe you feel like your day-to-day job or your day-to-day routine is a mundane routine that just doesn't seem to be going anywhere. But think about these shepherds and just dedicate yourself to your routine, to your job. Do it with excellence. As we read in Colossians, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So these shepherds are out there doing their job, doing a great job, and it's nighttime. We pick up where we read last week. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm bringing you good news that'll cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." And notice, I didn't mention this last week, but notice that it doesn't say born to Mary and Joseph. This is a Savior that's been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger, in a feeding trough. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The last thing that I want to mention there about just this average group of people doing their common people doing common work. You don't have to go to a mountaintop. You don't have to take a walk in the forest. You don't have to go on a retreat. You don't have to do anything special to find God. He will come to you in your routine day-to-day life. So verse 15 says that when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." So the angel made an announcement, and he told them how they could be sure. He told them the sign that they would see if they were interested. It was a guarantee. This is how you'll know. But he never told them to go. He doesn't say to go find this baby. He just tells them how they could identify him if they wanted to. So they make the decision themselves. Because if this is true, and remember the angel had told them it's going to cause great joy for all people, that means that these outcasts are going to have joy as well. If this is true, they have reason for joy. Joy is hope realized. Think about it. You have that Red Ryder BB gun on your Christmas wish list and hope you get it for Christmas. So when you unwrap a box and pull out the BB gun, you're filled with joy. Your hope is realized. Now, technically, that's happiness because it's circumstantial, but I'm using it for this example. The idea of the hope that you have, and when it's realized, you then find joy. And I'm using that as an example because we can see how the shepherds had heard about a Messiah. They knew about it. They knew he was coming, or they had been told he was coming. They were hoping he would arrive. And now the angels were telling them that the Messiah had been born. They were filled with joy. Their hope had been realized. Let's go. They heard the message, and they acted on it. Verse 16, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. They hurried off. They didn't say, "Well, you know what, day after tomorrow, as we're making our way down this direction, we'll stop by." No, they hurried off right now. They wanted to go see. And they found everything just the way the angel had described it. They believed the angel's message. They quickly checked it out for themselves, and their joy increased. So much so that they wanted to tell somebody. Verse 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. So you sort of see a pattern here, or the start of a pattern. God's invitation that first Christmas day, come and see your newborn Savior. Now go and tell everyone. It was that way on resurrection morning, too, with Mary Magdalene. Come and see your risen Savior. Now go and tell everyone. And it's that way when you're born again. Come and see your living Savior. Now go and tell everyone. Then verse 18, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. There were people who were amazed, maybe trying to make sense of it, but it was all external to them. There was amazement telling each other. But Mary, when it says treasured up, when we have a treasure, we want to safeguard it. We put it behind glass, or we put it in a bank vault, or we put it in mason jars and bury it in the backyard. But whatever we do, we keep it safe and keep it hidden. And she treasured that. I mean, she kept it hidden. Those things that she saw, kept them hidden in her mind and pondered them in her heart. Just continued to let it soak in and recognize what this all means to her and to the world. And then in verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The shepherds returned. They went back to their day-to-day life. They went back to their jobs, because there was nothing wrong with that. That's where God blessed them in the first place. They didn't decide to go write a book or head out on a speaking tour. They just went back to work. But they went back to work with a whole different attitude. And we see that they went back to work glorifying and praising God. I know it's kind of a worn-out cliche, but God met them where they were. God meets you and me where we are. You can kind of picture it like this. You imagine, we've been out and so doing some shopping. I don't know why. Shopping on a Saturday as opposed to a weekday. But you know how busy it is out there. And we were at a Kris Kringle Mart down in Dillsburg, and people around. It's wonderful and it's nice. But just imagine you're in one of these crowded places and there's a child there. A little child that you can tell is lost. It's crying. And you have compassion on that child. What's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to, at very least, bend over. If you can, you're going to get down on a knee. You're going to get down eye level with that child so that you can talk with them and connect with them. That's what God did, because we were lost. He got down to our level. He got down to shepherd level. He got down to feeding trough level in order to connect with the world. And he's going to do it again. We actually sang about that this morning, and maybe you didn't know that. Did you know that Joy to the World was not written as a Christmas carol? In fact, in its original form, it had nothing to do with Christmas. It was written about Christ's second coming. And it wasn't even intended to be a song. Isaac Watts was one of the greats when it comes to hymn writers. So great, in fact, that apparently he even wrote a great hymn by accident. He had published a book of poems, and each poem was an adaptation of one of the Psalms. And one of those poems, of course, was based on Psalm 98. And Isaac Watts celebrates Jesus' role as king of the church, king of the whole world. And then over 100 years later, a portion of his poem was tweaked a little bit and set to music, and voila, one of our most famous Christmas carols, Joy to the World. A song about joy, about hope realized. But instead of the shepherd's hope that's realized, it's about the joy of our hope realized when he comes again. Think about some of the phrases. Let every heart prepare him room. Through a relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit transforms our lives, and God's joy is in our hearts and our minds and displayed in our everyday lives. Let men their songs employ. God made us social creatures. Some of us are more social than others, but we're all made as social creatures. We need other people. And when our hearts are filled with joy, we want to share it with somebody. And the phrase, "He rules the world with truth and grace." That's the final realization of our hope, the final culmination of our joy. But in the meantime, let the joy in your heart guide the way you live day to day in the world. The way you interact with people who haven't heard the good news or haven't responded to the good news of great joy. Or those people you interact with while you're just going through your routine day-to-day living. Those people who are the flock that you've been asked to shepherd. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for revealing yourself to us in it. We thank you for making yourself known to the world as this baby. We thank you for the joy that you have provided, the joy that you made known to the shepherds, that you made known to the world, that you've made known to us. Help us to continue to share that joy with all the people in whom we come in contact with. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll ask you to stand if you're able, and let's sing our final hymns. So go from here recognizing the source of the joy that's in your heart and spread that joy, share that joy with the needy world out there, your mission field outside these doors. And may the Lord bless you and protect you and make his face shine upon you and give you his peace and joy. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.